base. He points out a couple of interesting cases from Greenwich, Norwich, and from Lincoln. In one case, there was an issue of a penalty if the tenaeum were not fulfilled. So you see that was another example of the engagement replacing the kiddushin as a form of engagement. And similarly, in a shtar shidduchin of Lincoln from 1271, there were some various clauses which fixed the time for the kiddushin and the chuppah, apparently because the child, the groom at that time, was still a minor and he couldn't be married until he was 13 years old. Another thing that Dr. Freiman points out in this is the state of anarchy that entered because of the issue of chashash l'savlanus. The Gemara in Kiddushin raises the issue as to whether choshishin. No, savlanut means presence that the groom's family, say, gives to the bride. Right? If you remember the story of Avraham Avinu, he sent with Eliezer, pulled out of his basket a whole lot of jewelry. Now, what was the role of that jewelry? Was that jewelry, in fact, Kesef Kiddushin? Did Rivka become married to Yitzchak at that time? Or was this sort of like an engagement ring, which that we have are accustomed to today, where the present doesn't necessarily signify an actual official marriage? So in the Gemara, it points out, and there's sort of two aspects to this question. One aspect of the question is the engagement ring actually Kiddushin? In other words, is the savlanut, the as we posed it, the money that Eliezer gave to Rivka's family, and to Rivka too, was that actually Kesef Kiddushin, or was that simply an engagement present? A second problem is that perhaps these various presents are only given after the marriage is contracted, so that there is no issue as to whether the presents themselves were part of the Kiddushin, but the presents are evidence of the fact that there had been prior Kiddushin. In other words, there are certain places, the Gemara says, the Makadshi v'hadar masavli, that the groom never gives presents to the bride until there has actually been Kiddushin. Now, you don't have any witnesses as to the Kiddushin, but you do have witnesses as to the delivery of the presents, and therefore, is that prima facie evidence? The problem is that we find in the beginning of the 12th century already, various of the Rabbanim in Germany were worried about questions as to this issue of Kiddushin. For example, if you have Daf Mem Dalet, the previous handout, it says, Ma'aseh b'Yehudi ha'chad b'Hadar b'Yarka she'shideh bat Yehudi acher b'Naitka l'vno v'yachar ha'shiduchin shalcha im ha'bachur b'Yarka chagor achad l'mshudechat al yidei uvein v'matana v'ha'bachur ha'mshudach shalach al yidei en zeh atzmo tabat l'kadesh lo ha'mshudechat v'lo ratzta ha'mshudechat l'kablon v'kibla isha acheret et ha'chagor v'et ha'tabat v'ha'mamad ha'mshudechat. In other words, the groom sent with a messenger a ring and a fancy belt. I don't know what the a jewelry, an enjeweled band, whatever that's
girdle,
right? Right. And the prospective bride, in fact, did not accept them, but one of her friends accepted them in her presence. And the nistapek hori ozaru abedina. Since there's never been any kiddushin here, there's no really reason. But only lahalach. Ach b'chol zot, he says, im tuchlalafai sale kadesh lo mutar. If you can persuade the girl to actually marry the young man, fine. Ve'im b'data lihinatzeh liYisrael, if she intends to marry a non-kohen, tekabel get bimenu l'rav chadamilta. It's best to require a get. The imlav ain't tov la osfal la kohen. That was a relatively mild psak, but Rav Chaim Orzurer pikpek afilu b'hara zehirazu, eini yodea lama lo michosh, dilma shliach shavitei hamishudechet l'isha hamakabelet. Maybe the bride made the woman who received it her shliach l'kabala, v'yikara, l'fi shehi atzma haita bosha l'kabel, sharei gam panea chasta b'mea b'tlehem, and the Maram Merutenberg who sich lachmir od yotei v'div salanut, mi yichnes atzmo l'tosafek l'dan min haga makom tu yatsa mishem. In other words, the situation had become so anarchic that if the groom had sent presents to the bride, then there was already a chashash that perhaps actually Kedushin had taken place. And as Freiman points out, kach nitrofufu v'toruru l'gamui hagdarim she'emidu chachmei ha'tamud v'kinyan ha'kedushin. This, therefore, you had a complete state of anarchy as to the specific regulations as far as Kedushin is concerned. Mishloshet hagdarim shel kedushei kesef amira netina ve'edut nishara rak ha'netina v'ach zu lo talu b'nanegdut.
In other words, by virtue of their becoming too frum and too choshesh le'isurim in by the time of the 12th or 13th century,
the situation became impossible as far as any substantial organization into the marriage laws.
Just can't give a present to a girl?
Yeah, can't give a present to a girl.
Which one was that?
That was on Daf Mem Dalet, Mem Hey, Mem Vav. Of the old handout.
I don't have the
page. Next to the last page would be
of the original.
Of it should be essentially the last, the next to the last page of last time's handout. Okay. On the other hand, once we get back into slightly later period with the students of the Maharam Rothenberg, the next generation, you see that there is a growth of a certain amount of community control. What's the first page of today's handout?
Memvav.
Memvav. Okay, so I guess I'm still reading Memhe, is that right? Let me just make sure that my page is here. Yeah, so this is still the last page, so I'll do this again quickly. Ma'asevim lamei tinoket, tinokot, shenitpala albana bat gedolei hamalchut. A malamid, a school teacher, got involved with a widow who was from a good family.
Jewish.
The kidsham apnei shnei edim v'tabaat shula. And he married her in front of two witnesses. With a borrowed ring.
Good.
Well, if he borrowed it and they gave it to him, it can be good. I mean, it depends how what kind of borrowing it was. It's best, again, to try to persuade him, make him an offer that he can't refuse to divorce her. Omnam, he says, im nere lachem rabotai hakrovim el hadavar. If this man comes from the wrong class of people, and if he's not fit to marry with such a woman from such a distinguished family,
so to respect teachers for Halvin.
That's right. If he actually seduced her or persuaded her into marrying him against her, beneath her station. If it's similar to the case that we had in Narash, where the man ran off, remember,
kidnapped the girl,
and they canceled it. Even though we can't cancel the Kiddushin on simply this basis, we can actually force him.
Why can't they have killed the Kiddushin?
In this particular case, after all, as far as I know, it was legitimate from looking at it from some 700 years later, it was a perfectly legitimate marriage. The idea that she came from an upper class family and he was a poor school teacher is not legitimate grounds to
annulment.
For an annulment.
But they never annulled. Should he did?
And we'll see that they did in the cases.
What I find in any of these cases, you know, that the chumras in terms of giving a get, they never considered kachan an issue. I know by forcing her to give a get, you know, she's possible for a kohen.
Of course they took that into consideration. We just saw it in the last time, that if the woman intended not to marry a kohen, that hadn't was engaged to a Yisrael, then he recommended giving a get as a chumra, but not otherwise. But we will see in the course of the evening that indeed there were cases of annulment.
It's the only reason why divorce and Gerushin would not be the usual solution. Why force an annulment? I mean, annulment is like
is a stronger tool.
More difficult than
sure.
Or is it the other way around?
Well, as far as the Grusha is concerned, there's a problem, as Dr. Kahan says, with the Kohen.
I didn't hear it. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Now, on the bottom of this Daf Mem Hei, there's something which you still don't have. We found, he says, there was one takana from that time, Rabbi Meir Mivina, in the German community. Tikein ki ein ba'aretz ish rasha'i l'shadech b'no uvito b'chashai b'lo rushut rabbanei mata. So once again, we find, as the Rambam's takana in Egypt, to insist on rabbinical presence at every wedding, similarly in Germany. Okay? Well, he doesn't say what the sanction was. Okay. B'chol Gulilot Ashkenaz, apparently this spread. And we find that even by the end of the 15th century. So therefore, although some of these people refer this Gzera back to Rabbeinu Tam, in fact the origin was from... We saw the Rambam in amongst the Sfarad communities and the Meir Mivina amongst the Ashkenazi communities. Okay. All right. But nevertheless, in various countries, for example, in Italy, we have serious cases. Here's a case in front of us. Let's go to page 47, then Zion on the current handout. Okay. Yeah, so this is in Italy. The Faneinu Eidim Chatumei Mata. On the next page, Daf Mem Zayin. You're looking at number.
Looks like Mem Zayin.
On the next page. The Faneinu Eidim Chatumei Mata.
That's the only one you have,
right? I have some more. The Faneinu Eidim Chatumei Mata. In front of us, of we, the undersigned. We the undersigned Baruch Bar Yeshaya Baruch Bar Oshia Ba'amar Kidashti et Blanda Bat Dodi Rabbi Yisrael. Okay, he claims that he made Kedushin to Blandi, the daughter of Rabbi Yisrael. Behevi Shtar Echad Lafaneinu V'chatumim Shnayim Alav V'zeh Lashon Hashtar. He brought a document. Zofaneinu edim chatumei mata b'shishi b'shabbat b'shisha yamim l'rech yisleiv shnat 5,000 l'ruyat ha'olam kidei shvaruch bar oshia et morat blanda bat rabbi Yisrael v'arbat hapuchim gdolim. He gave her four large apples. V'kach amar lofaneinu tirtza l'hitkadesh li v'elu arbat hapuchim gdolim v'elu yuledim amru la heim. אני רוצה להתקדש לך באלו התפוחים, ונתנם לו מידו לידה. וכך אמר לה בפנינו, הרי את מקודשת לי באלו ארבע תפוחים גדולים, כדת משה ישראל, ואתם עדים. וקיבלה אותם לשם קדושים, אליה בר יוסף, משה בר ישראל. אחר שבוע חזר זה ברוך הנעל והודה בפני קהל, כי כל מה שאמר שקע הוא, שני יהודים חתומים הם פלסטר גמור, כי מעולם לא קדשה, etc., etc. So you see, this was an attempt at extortion, and the guy knuckled under at the end and admitted that this was a put up case, and the question was how to deal with it. I mean, as in general, the groom is claiming that this girl was married to him. When in fact she wasn't, then they would have to bribe him, give him money to give a get, and so on and so forth.
Give him a false.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Okay. Let's take a look in the next page.
Let's go to our pet, his on that mem tet. We'll see lots of cases like that. On that mem tet, we find an unusual situation. He's describing the minhag of Romania. Derach kehilot Romania, shemavarchim zayin sheva brachot mishat erusim. That they do the sheva brachos at the time of the erusim. Ve'omdim zman harbe, ve'achar kach mosrim otah lo lechupa l'shem nusuin. ונראה לי שכיוון שבירך שבע ברכות משעת אירוסין, אסור עוד לברך בשעת נשואין, דהבי לברכה לבטלה. אולם לפי דעתו לא נחשבה הרוסה עדיין כנשואה, אף על פי שכבר בירכו שבע ברכות, שאין אישה קנויה לבעל ביותו זין שבע ברכות, וזה שעשו שבע ברכות אין אלא להתירה לו מפני שמתייחד עמה. So apparently they sort of had some intermediate form of marriage between Kedushin and the Nisuin, where they would have Kedushin, and then they would there would be a waiting period before the actual finalization of the marriage. But in between, the bride and groom felt that they were allowed to engage in private activities because of the fact that they already made the Sheva Brachos. In other words, they were interpreting the Mishnah, the Gemara, the Masechet Kala, literally, when the Masechet Kala says Kala v'lo bracha surah l'bala k'nida, they seem to interpret it to mean that once you've made the sheva brachos, all is allowed, even though the marriage itself, as far as other financial obligations and halachot are concerned, have not been finished.
That's what the bracha says.
Yeah, but what is the nesuos? The question is whether it was you require the full nesuyin or whether you require. It's a strange custom. בכל מנהג בני רומניה נראה לי שהוא ממנהג בני יהודה. ולא שתהי גמורה לו מיד כאישה גמורה להתחייב במזונותיה ולזכות במעשה יודעה ולכל ענייני אישות, ויפה פי שהולכת או יישב הלנה עמו בתוך ביתו לא קנאה, ולא אותן, וכל אותן הביות הן ביות אירוסין ואין יוצאים מרשות אביה עד שימסורנו לשם נשואין. So we see that there was some sort of a strange compromise arrangement, that's practically unique as far as I can tell, at least after the time of the Gemara, in Romania, in which they felt the young couple were allowed to cohabit with one another, even though they were not yet financially able to have a full-fledged marriage. What?
What's the difference between a full-fledged marriage?
No, he doesn't have to provide for her. She does. He's not allowed to drive to demand her income. The question if he's a Kohen is not allowed to be, whether he is or he's not be able to be Metameila. There's a question of Yerusha, there are various different financial consequences.
Yeah.
So the only thing that was allowed was sex, but all of the other consequences of.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Today we have a Yichud, the assistant, where this be something like Yichud?
Yeah, but there was no intention here to finalize the marriage, so he says all of this is still part of the Kiddushin.
No Ksuba.
No Ksuba yet.
They had witnesses to the fact that they had Yichud signed.
They might have, but he did not intend this. Neither the bride nor the groom meant this to be the finalization of the marriage. So there was no Kenyan here. Look, I'm not advocating this. I'm simply...
Only for Romanians.
In all offices in New York, this is very good for the...
All right. Okay.
Does that have profit?
Did he approve this practice?
No, he doesn't say.
But he says it's Minhag
Yehuda. What does he mean by Minhag Yehuda?
What is Minhag Yehuda?
There was there in the Mishnah. Mishnah tells us that in the time of the Yehud, the custom in Yehuda as opposed to the Galil was to allow a certain amount of intimacy between the bride and the groom, even before the Nesul. Just mentions it as a... we also see that if we look on Daf Nun Aleph, if we're still sticking with Romania for this period, the Gililot Romania lo hitpashtu ad hatkufa ha-hi takanot chachmei tzofat be'ashkenaz lo cherom ven gershom shelo lisa isha lishto lo takanat hakmodmonim al tzimot yad v'kishiduchim v'lo takanat shum, that's Speyer, Vermeiser, or Mainz, al hachzarat hanidunya. Valkachu tzorach lenhog bevidin takanot ka'elu mishalahen. So apparently the authority of the German rabbis was not complete over Romania. These Jews were basically still from the Byzantine Empire, and they did not fall...
Not from Spain.
The Spanish Jews didn't get there until after the expulsion from Spain. This is still the 11th and the 12th and the 13th century. So these are the Jews that got there from the Near East, moving up in with the Byzantine Empire. So they were there before the Turks and before the expulsion from Spain. Okay? Now let's turn to Provence. Daf Nun Beis. Here are two things that are interesting. One is, remember that there, at the time of the Gemara, we had no notion of a kos for Kiddushin at all. The only time where there was a recipe of the Sheva Brachos was on the Nisuin. And it was a takana of the Gaonim to institute a kos, and even besamim, and asara, nashim, all kinds of quorum, all kinds of things in the kiddushin in order to give it some type of a public character that it didn't have. And of course, once the kiddushin and the nesuin came together, it perhaps made no sense, as you mentioned last time, to maintain a separate kos for kiddushin, and Rashi had to institute some kind of an interruption, some kind of a pause between the two activities, so it shouldn't be a bracha levatala to have two cups, or at least to separate the two. We see here that in Provence, at least at the time of the Meiri, indeed they only had one kos. That is, once the Kiddushin and the Nisuin were unified, they didn't have two cups of wine, the way we have at today's wedding, but had one. Let's read it. V'kach nahugu, third paragraph from the top, v'kach nahugu gamkein v'kol glilotenu mimot ha-ga'onim v'rabanim sh'ayu sham yimei kedem sh'kol sh'ha-erusin v'ha-nesuin ba'in ki-echad mevarchin v'yachat erusin u'v'yachat nesuin al kos echad. So you only had one cup of wine. U'mi'ata hu adin v'chol makom sh'nohagin liyot ha-erusin v'ha-nesuin ki-echad sh'osim kein. כל זמן שיהיו האירוסין והנסון במזמן אחד יונג שלנו. משמע שמנהג פרובנציה יהיה לעשות האירוסין כאחד. And we see from this that the Meiri's custom, the custom of Provence, which is more logical than our custom, because the first cup of wine was the takana tagaonim only to give a public character to the Kedushin. And it already has a public character because it's occurring at the time of the Nisuin. It would be not necessary. But of course our custom does not follow Provence. It follows Rashi. Okay. So the second thing that we find in Provence, which is unusual and became somewhat widespread, but of course is not universally maintained, the next paragraph: "Biotat kufan et hashet beProvence onel hag shahayavo kedei lasod persum mukdam lenisuin nahagu beeretz Provence uvetzofat lahoshiva klomar hakala bakatedra." That there would be a ban like, as in the Catholic Church, a promulgation of bans prior.
Canada too.
Yeah.
The rabbi knows it from the pulpit.
Right. So this must be perhaps the influence of the Catholic Church, but it's for whatever reason, it's a good idea to give again some public character and warning to Now, on the next page, we have a famous case from a famous family. If you think that it's only judges in New York State that get involved in kinds of public scandal, here is a 13th century scandal.
Roma.
It's a different type of scandal, and in some sense, it's uglier than... So let's read this case. This is a case that involves the Ibn Tibbon family. So this is a famous family of translators. Excuse me?
Just look at the Kiddushai
Seta. Kiddushai Seta, secret marriages or fake, false, or untrue.
Trickery.
For, you know,
untrue marriages, claims of marriage when they didn't take place. So let's just read the case. It's an interesting case. It's worth reading from beginning to end, including the response to it. Ma'aseh shehaya kach haya. L'Rabbi Moshe ibn Tibin, ha-chacham va-targem ha-yadua, b'no shel Rabbi Shmuel ibn Tibin, gedol ha-ma'atikim, haya ben shenikra al-shem zikno Shmuel. So you had Moshe ibn Tibin and his son Shmuel, named after Moshe's father. Rabbi Moshe yashav im b'no zeh b'ma'aseh. אחותו של רב משה בן טיבן, נורת בלה, בת רב שמואל בן טיבן, הייתה נשואה לחכם אחד בנאפולי, רב יוסף הכהן. So his sister and his brother-in-law lived in Napoli, שנפטר בשנת תקוף צדקי, בערך, בהשאירו אחריו ארבעה יתומים. He left a family of four children, בן אחד ושלוש בנות. One boy and three daughters. אחד הבנות האלה הייתה בינבנו, בן בינבנגודה. That was her welcome. That was her, was her name. רב משה אבן טיבן ביקר בשנת 1000 one of those 2 years, אצל אחותו בנאפולי. וכפי הנראה, דיברו אז על שידוף בין בנו שמואל ובינבנגודה, שהייתה עדיין קטנה בת 3 או כבת 6. That doesn't make any sense, but all right.
Yes,
first cousin.
Huh?
First cousin.
Yeah, his son and her daughter.
No, the question is, when did the father die? the dates are a little
wrong.
All
right.
I see.
Okay.
10 years later.
Right. Samoch l'shnat heyud beiz ba marat bela im bita b'yungunda l'shtakeya b'marseh b'veit achiyah b'moshe b'intim. The whole family, the orphaned family, came to live with the Ibn Tibin family in Marseille. Okay? B'tishrei nitkatsha b'yogunda b'Marseille l'Rabbi Yitzchak bar Shimshon mi-X. Marseille is pretty close to X. It's about 20 minutes on the train. I take that train pretty often. I don't think they had a fast speed train then, but then it was not so distant. And she married a groom from Marseille. הקידושין ניתנו בבית הכנסת על ידי שליח, באותו פרק כבר הייתה שמעון בבן טיבן נשוי אישה. Okay? So let's get the facts up to this point straight. The father talked with his sister about marrying his son to her daughter. In the meantime, the son married someone else, and the daughter and her family came to live with the uncle, and she was married publicly by a shliach in the Beit HaKnesset to a gentleman from X. Okay? Kama chadashim achrei nisuei b'yugunda l'Rav Yitzchak bar Yitzchak, several months after the marriage, bo Shmuel ibn Tibin lefnei Beit HaDin Mas b'Marseille, v'ta'an sheb'yugunda haita mekudeshet lo mikodem. Now, several months after her marriage to the gentleman from X, Shmuel ibn Tibin claims that she had previously been married to him. Behaviu edim shehiru al akdushim. Lefi dvarav nidkat shalom yogunda pa'amayim ba'odaktana uveshlishit achrei shebagra. That there were three times in which she actually got married to him. First in 1246, be'erech be'ot aviv Rav Moshe ben Nachuli shalach la savlanut al yidei aviv. Sheinit b'shnat Tet be'erech chazar v'shalach la'savlanut l'Napoli al yedei shliach u'v'shlishit b'marseille b'tamuz masar la'tachshit tzit mavripel k'mi yado liyada b'pnei emidim v'yamar la harei al kvar arusati v'tihi od arusati b'davar ze v'gam b'lashon la'az amar tihi b'ze esposa sheli. Be my wife. Esposa is the Spanish and Provençal word for wife. ביאגונדה הכחישה כל טענותיו של שמואל בן דודה והעמיד טוען את רבי אברהם בלעבירו שטען לאדם. So they had the unfortunate practice of lawyers in those days as well. She appointed this gentleman as her lawyer and
she says no.
She said nothing ever happened. לאדם לא היו דברים מעולם. She denies all such claims. עיקר טענתה של ביוגונדה הייתה כי שמואל ואביו רב משה בן טיבן היו נוכחים בבית הכנסת בשעה שנתקדשה לרב יצחק בעלה. Both her uncle and her cousin were present at the Beit Knesset at the time of the wedding. וביום האירוסין עשתה אימם הרדבלה סעודת אירוסין ושמואל עצמו הלך להזמין האורחים והוא ואביו השתתפו בסעודת מצווה זו. כן טענה כי רב משה בן טיבן דודה הודה לפני נישואיה שלא היה שום דין ודברים ותנאים בינו לבין אימה. וכי רב משה בעצמו הוסיע לרב יצחק בר יצחק. Her uncle, in fact, married her, performed the wedding. וגם כתב את התנאים שנעשו בין אימו ובין חמם. And her uncle also wrote out the details of the engagement. עוד לפני נישואיה לרב יצחק הכריז רב משה דודה בבתי כנסת שבעשה בני כל שהיא פנויה לגמרי, לא משודכת ולא מקודשת, לא לשמואל בנו ולא למישהו אחר, וכי לא היו לא מנות ולא סבלנות ולא פירות ולא מגדנות, לא ממנו ולא מבנו ולא משלופיהם. So up until... That's her claim in the court, yes?
Why would she make such a public statement?
When her brother died and she inherited her brother's estate, עברה פתאום רוח רעה על שמואל וקמה לה בטענות ותביעות כדי לזכות בנכסי אחר שנפלו עלה בירושה ובנכסי אימה העתידים להגיע לרשותה.
That's your answer, Mel, as to what the motive is. Why would her uncle announce publicly in shul that his son has no claim on her?
That may have been the form of the banns that they had in Provence. You know, the people announced that it may have been a regular procedure.
I don't know the answer, but I assume that may have just been a regular procedure.
Like they proclaim in some weddings in the United States, let anyone who has any. Claim stand up or forever hold his peace, things like that. So they may have had similar. I honestly don't know the answer to your question, but that would be my presumption.
What about that if Shmuel would marry someone else?
No.
Because he was allowed to marry
Shmuel? Yes. Okay. Al ha'edim she'hivia Shmuel lefnei beit din ta'ana b'yugunda she'em psulim machmat averot v'chi ha'idu sheker b'yad betza kesach. גם על הדיינים שגבו את עדותם שלא בפניה אמרה שהם הדיודות ולא גמרו שמיתה מעולם ותקעו עצמם בדין זה אף פי שיש חכמים גדולים בעיר וכל זאת מתוך שנאה לבעלה רב יצחק. Okay? That's what she claims. All of this is part of her lawyer's claim before the court. Alright? Now we will see the claim of Shmuel. Shmuel ibn Timon heshiv sheiduchim nasu b'Napoli bein aviv uvein dadoto beidim uvekinyan uveknas ushua chamura v'chol minei chizukim v'achar kach shalach aviv l'bigunda manot b'torat sablanut kamenhag v'kishba'a b'bigunda imima lagor b'beitam b'masei hayinu mityachdim ba'aliyot uvechadarim b'yom v'layla v'fnei edim v'shalom v'fnei edim v'hayiti tadir v'ragil etzla v'libi hayita gaspa. So he claims the existence of intimate relations taking place when she moved to his house. Aval hu muda shelo asa ma'ase. He admitted that it was not consummated in actual sexual intercourse. Okay? Uma shenasa b'intayim isha acheret, aviv hu shechricho l'chat chutz midata. He was forced by his father to marry this other woman. Okay? So, chevrei beit hadin b'marsei shamu ha'ta'anot v'gavu ha'eviyot b'shnat hei tedvav. Then they were Rabbi Yaakov and Yitzhak, or Hillel and Shmuel and Verona, and Rabbi Moshe ben Menachem HaParush, and there were various, much of the case surrounded the issue of the disqualification of the Eidut. And as he says, we didn't have the protocol of that particular case, but we do have a summary written apparently on the orders of the court, and so let's read that. Hikalnu v'etbonanu al kol ha'ta'anot shel Rabbi Shmuel v'ho'u sh'ta'anotav havel havalim u'midot putzim nagubo sh'natan einav v'nechaseha liyot tofes et aneha. Hadin hu din merumeh, kotev Rav Shmuel bar Yosef, ki anara v'ima benot atzilim gdolim hein v'yesh lehem nechasim merubim
ba'ma'ar'er afhu ben gedolim v'chachamim, ve'eich lo chasu al kvodam v'yichusam l'itkadesh b'fnei anashim chutim u'burim. Just like the New York Times editorial about Judge Wackler. Heichan netimtza isha ashira ha'omedet l'iresh nechasim urubim shetitkadesh mebli shemishpachta u'mishpachat ba'ala yaseh pusum l'davah. Where will you find a girl from a rich and distinguished family who would get married without the family making this thing public? V'zeh Shmuel lo diber v'lo ir'er v'inyan erusim v'yuguda ad mot achera. He didn't make this claim until her brother died. V'od l'fita anato hi mekudeshet lo zeh yosel yoter mi'esach shanim v'odak tana v'yachrei shegadla ha'yitachen sheshum kol shel kudushin lo yetzeh aleha ad achrei mot achia. If he's been married to her for the past 10 years, how come nobody has heard about it? And all of a sudden, the claim was only made after her brother dies. V'eich shatak Shmuel b'shah shekidesh v'b'yitzak v'yagunda v'yasah sudat erusim b'fanav v'pnei v'moshe aviv. Ha'nishmak ha'davah hazeh sh'yitain adam l'arusato l'inaseh l'yacher b'fanav v'yotah b'yotah l'ir v'yishtok. V'eich lo yada ha'olam min ha'kidushim ha'kdumim u'udah nishavu ha'kidushim ha'kronim nistarim ad ha'chvei mot achi ha'na'ara. ואיך קבלו הידיעות בפני ביתים אחרי הקדושים וסעודת אירוסין שעשר יצחק לא נתפסה הדבר? איברו דייש מקדשים בצנע ואינם מגלים אפילו לשכנים, אחרי שקידשו מפרסמים הדבר ברבים. You might have a case where a couple, because the families object, will marry secretly, but once they're married, it becomes public knowledge. כי אי אפשר שתישאר נערה מקודשת זמן רב בפני שהדבר יתפסה. אין להשגיח בכל קידושין צוציה ושמואל בכל הדבתה נשואין. בשעת הקידושין הראשונים הייתה בגונדה בחזקה קטנה, ומה שאמר לה, אחרי כן הרי את כבר ארוסתי ותהי עוד ארוסתי, אין לו כלום, ואין קידושין תופסין על קידושין. אוקיי? אוקיי. And he writes, like before turning the page, okay? לבסוף מצא הרב שמואל רב יוסף בספרו של רב יהודה ברצלוני את תקנת הגאונים רב היי ורב יהודה על הפקעת הקדושים שנעשו בבית המשתאות. The very first takana that we saw of Rav Yehuda Gaon to nullify all marriages that were not made according to the Seder Bavel, particularly the ones made in the bars. And מסיים, ולולי כי פסו חכמינו ונעדרו גדולי הדור בעלי התורה, אשר תורת אמת הייתה וסולת נקייה. If not for the fact that we unfortunately don't have distinguished scholars today, היה ראוי לתקן כזה לפי הדור אשר פרצים פרס ותחס עליהם הארץ. A similar case we have in one of the Tshuvos of the Rashba. This is brief to Provence, but we will eventually get back to the Rashba when we get to Spain. Ruven kidesh bat Yehuda b'faneinu kidushei vadai, v'achar kach hotzi aleh shemon kol shenkasha lebno v'lo rotza levarer dvarav, v'hiskam l'chachamim l'achriv shevarer dvarav et ha'an sheidav halchu lahem l'medinat hayam. אפילו הכי חששנו בדבר שם מתוך סינה שנסננו שמביאנה שם יזייף עדים לכלכלה ויצניחו הגט לרב חדמילטה ויחר שנתן הגט בא אותו העד שמה שמון שהיה שם בוודאי בשעת הקדושים ועם אותו העד בתורת עדות שלא ראה ולא שמע מאותן הקדושים כלום. So we have a similar case, not so interesting. Okay?
Don't they have ways of testing the
Yeah, they have to. If they have to bring in order to disqualify a witness, you have to bring testimony to his bad behavior. Let's look at the next page. This is an interesting case, again from the Rashba, Daf Nun Vav. So this is again in Provence, closer to Spain. Ma'aseh haya b'bachura sh'ayta smucha al acheha v'almanat aviya upanasua. There was a girl who was living with her brothers and her father's widow. Must be that her mother died and her father remarried and had some more children, and then the father died. So she was living in the house of her brothers and her father's widow.
Half sisters, half brothers.
Right. From the age of 18, Baharehi kevat chafei shana, she's now 25. V'kitsha bachur echad li da'ata, Umidat almanat aviha viacheha smuchim hasmucha aleha. Her stepmother and her brothers, by whom she was supported, agreed to the wedding. Umidat achacher she'inat smucha aleha. And from another brother who is not contributing to her support. V'gam midat k'tzat k'oveha shnitvatsu kulan b'shiduchin u'b'kdushin. U'k'tzat mikroveha lo nitvatsu b'davad. Some other relatives didn't like this particular shidduch. Achar kach am v'achar kach v'yamru lo she'yigar shena. And they demanded that the husband divorce her. M'pnei she'yesh takana b'in ha'kiilot asher minavona v'ad al-ledi v'ad avinyon v'ad alitz. So this is from Narbon to Arles to Avignon to Ale. She'lo yekadesh adam isha ki im midat aviha u'kovera. That a man cannot marry a woman except with the approval of her family.
So she had her approval.
Some.
No,
some
100%.
Okay.
No,
we
have
to have 100%.
ויותן הקרובים הם קצת מבני הקהל החרימו הבחור שיגרש את אשתו תוך זמן ושלא יחתום כתובה ולא יקרוב אליה שום קריבה. They wanted to break up this marriage, this wedding. So that's the question to the Rashba.
She's 25 years old, I mean, how much better is she going to do?
עמדתי על שאלתך ועל לשון התקנה שתקנו ביותן הקהלות בדין הקידושין ונראה לי שהקידושין נעשו כהוגן. ואיני מוצא חיוב גירושין או שום כנס וחם על הבחור. לפי שהקידושין מצד עצמם קידושין עשויים כהוגן הם, וכל שנעשה מידת האישה שהיא גדולה, ומידת אחר הוא קצת קרובר, ולא מיגרש, ומה עשו שיחרימו? What did he do wrong? ואם מצד התקנה, הרי אין בה אלא כל שלא יקדש אלא מידת אביה אם ישנו, ומידת אמו ויחר, או מידת קרובר הסמוכה עליהם. ומלשון זה יראה שאפילו יש לה אין ונתקדשה על ידי קרובה שהיא סמוכה להם הקודשת ואפילו שלא מידת האין כל שכן אם אין לה אין ואם מפני הקרובים אלה הרי נתנה רשות לקרובים מהקרובים הסמוכים אלה הם הסמוכים אלו יראה שהיא סמוכה אצלם כאפוטרופה כלשון יתומים שסמכו אצל בעלי הבית והנה יתמי דסמכי גבדה היסבתא ואישה זו הייתה סמוכה אצל אחיה ואלמנת אביה אפילו במזונות ובהשתדלות עניינה כי את הפרופו מידתה נתקדשה. If there was any guardian in this case, it was the stepmother and the brothers who were looking after her affairs. ואם נפשם לומר שאין סמיכה זו מלשון יתומים שסמכו אצל בעל הבית אין השתדלות בסכם אלא מן עניין סמיכות שאישה סמכה וקרוביה הנכבדים שאשתו במסר ואין לך קרובים שהיא סמוכה יותר מאחיה אדרבה יותר סומכת עליהם מכל So the Rashba doesn't disagree with the intrinsic substance of the Takana, but he does say that the requirements of the Takana have been fulfilled in this case. The interesting question here is who drafted this Takana? In other words, here you find one of the towns in Western Provence making the assertion that there's been a Takana which has been enforced throughout all of that region, which says that a woman cannot marry without the approval of her family. I mean, what the records are, where this Takana comes from, who drafted it, questions like that, we don't have a good answer to. Okay. Now we have another case with a little bit more life-threatening here. Let's take a look on the bottom of Daf Nun Zayin. This is the case of Maruna. Okay. So, the very last two words. Don Salmias Nasi Valencia Shadach ve'elo kuf memhei et norat Mairuna ba'arledi. So he engaged this woman in Arledi. Okay. Ve'achar kach kitsha lo al yedei shlucho b'tabaat zahav ve'ir nims.
Why double wedding? Double.
What?
The first he made a shidduch.
He made a shidduch. And then had the kiddushin
on by his agent in Nimes. V'terem ze haita maestri Duran da kartini al dide. Mr. Maestri Duran was from Arles. Tovea et marat Maruna shetina sela. He was trying to persuade Maruna to marry him before this wedding took place.
Was it customary to always get married to a shaliach?
If they lived in distant cities, it was not unreasonable. V'ze be'emtzaut Yehudim v'notzrim. He tried with Jewish and non-Jewish persuaders, intermediaries, to persuade her to marry him, and she refused. Achaka chotzi kol maestri duran shehu kideish et Maruna ba'arledi terem shinit katshala don salmias. So now he makes the claim, like we had in the Ibn Tibbon case, that in fact he married her prior to her wedding. Shnei edim he'idu b'fnei.